On the church calendar, this Sunday, today, the Sunday before Advent begins, receives the special designation Reign of Christ the King Sunday. And so we change the colors on the table and the pulpit to white, the color associated with those days that mark and celebrate the identity of Jesus the Christ. Those Sundays include Christmas and Epiphany and Baptism of the Lord and Easter. The gospel readings usually chosen for this Sunday are passages that proclaim Jesus as King. I made a different choice today. I've chosen the readings that are meant for a Thanksgiving Day service, and yet I think they still point to the kingliness of Christ and what it means for him to reign in our lives. The reading from Deuteronomy this morning instructs the people to do three things: to remember, to return, and to rejoice. Do you ever walk into a room and forget what you came for? Never, no. I'm told it happens more as we age. It seems to have happened a lot for God's people. In the book of Deuteronomy alone, Moses tells the people multiple times to remember what happened to them, to remember their history. As a people, they were once enslaved in Egypt. Oh, not this generation that's moving into the promised land. No, every single person except Moses and two faithful aides, Joshua and Caleb, every single Israelite standing at the gateway to the promised land was born during the 40 years of desert wandering. They don't remember firsthand the stories from Egypt. They remember being told the stories, maybe around the campfires at night, maybe on the long days of journey through the desert. Stories told by their parents and grandparents, shaped by their aunts and uncles, even stories from Moses himself. Remember, Moses tells them, even when you've moved in and settled down, when you are growing and harvesting your own food and tending your own flocks, remember where you came from. Remember how you got here. God delivered you. God led you. God made this way for you. You are descendants of a wandering people, and you didn't get here on your own. Moses gives them a statement of faith that's almost like a creed. It starts with the words, "My father was a wandering Aramean." Wandering. We think of that term as meaning nomadic, and we know God's people were nomads before they settled into the promised land. But that word means a little more than just untethered. It implies at risk. A wanderer is in peril. Like a sheep that strays from its fold and its shepherd, its life is at risk. This sentence of remembrance proclaims that we were once a people in peril, a people in danger of being lost, but we have been found. We have been saved. God saved us. Was there a time in your life when you were wandering, when you were in peril, maybe literally, maybe metaphorically? God sought you out, put people or circumstances on your pathway, called to you, and drew you in. I want to pause here for a few seconds. I'll count them silently. I want to pause so that you can reflect to yourselves silently and remember. So we remember. We remember what God has done for us. And then we return to God a gift of thanksgiving. Now, Moses dictated to the people that that gift should be some of the first fruits harvested. One of the lessons we learned from the story of Cain and Abel is that giving to God from the first fruits of the harvest is right and good and holy. It's what is appropriate to give. The very best goes first to God. But we also know that God doesn't need earthly food to eat or wine to drink. So how does God use those first fruits that the Israelites brought? Those gifts became what the priests shared with those in need. The widows, the orphaners, the foreigners dwelling among God's people who had no land of their own and no means to survive. It's been said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you what you value. We give to God our first fruits, the gift of our time and our talents, as well as our treasures, gifts from our hands and our hearts, as well as our pocketbooks. Our gifts reflect our love for God and should do good for God's people in the world. We give because we who have found life want to help others find life. Remember who and whose we are and give gifts that honor God by loving all God's children. So again, I'm going to pause for a minute and invite you to reflect in the silence on what are the gifts that you have to share? What are the ways that you share what you've been given? And perhaps, maybe even, the thought of what more could you do to do good for God's people in the world. So we remember, in remembering, we return, and we rejoice. And while the act of giving might sound like it's an obligation when coupled with telling the story and remembering what God has done, we expect to feel some joy. Our gratitude should lead us to rejoice. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise, writes the psalmist. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before God with joyful singing, for God has indeed made us glad. Turning our biblical clock forward from the time of Moses to the time of Jesus, we are reminded once again of what God has done for us in Jesus. We see the love of God, the forgiveness and grace of God extended to all humankind. In Jesus, we say the way, In Jesus, we see the way to live and love as God intends for us to do. In Jesus, we find life, abundant life, the way to live here and now that mirrors the eternity God imparts to us. When we commit ourselves to becoming the mirror of love and grace for the world, we are in fact proclaiming the reign of Christ the King in our lives. I've been reading Richard Rohr's book, The Universal Christ, in preparation for our Advent series. A contemporary theologian and mystic, Rohr reminds us that Christ is a title, not Jesus' last name. The Christ means Messiah or anointed one. The Christ is a part of God and has been since the beginning of time. Jesus is the embodiment of the Christ. Rohr suggests that like God, the Christ is present in all things from the beginning, in every rock and tree, every waterfall and water bug, every creature and every human. Not to give away too much of our Advent series, which starts next week, but to see the Christ in everything is the beginning of embodying the Christ in our own lives. And that would mean acknowledging that the reign of Christ the King has already begun. Christ in you and Christ in me and Christ in all the living things, that's the reign of Christ the King. It's happening now. Not some future possibility, but our present day reality. How does that change our thinking, change the way we look at the world when we believe that Christ is already present everywhere? As the week ahead unfolds and our households mark first the Thanksgiving holiday and then the season of Advent begins, endeavor to remember at each turning who you are and whose you are. Remember to give thanks in all the ways you can for all the things that we've been given. And rejoice. The reign of Christ has already begun. Amen.